Let's turn in our Bibles now to Revelation chapter 5. This will be our scripture reading this morning. I'll read the first and the odd-numbered verses, and we ask you to join together as you read the even-numbered verses, and shall we stand as we read the Word of God. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, and it was sealed with seven seals.
And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?"
And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon.
And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon.
And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof."
And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth.
And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne.
And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints.
And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
And has made unto God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth."
And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands,
saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing."
And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever."
And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever.
Let's pray. Father, open now our hearts to receive your word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated.
Good morning. Well, this evening, as usual, we will continue in our study through the Bible. Tonight, the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, and that's where we're going to be looking this morning as well. So if you'd like to just flip over to chapter 7, I want to read to you verse 9, and then verses 13 through 17. So Revelation 7:9, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." Verse 13, "And one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these which are arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?' And I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them to living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. John had just described the sealing of the 144,000 Israelites. So, having done that, he now speaks of this great multitude that come out of the great tribulation. And notice how he described them. He described them, first of all, as having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Then he said that they were before God's throne, that they served him day and night in his temple, that they would never hunger or thirst, and that they would be led by the Lord to living fountains of water. Now, John is, of course, describing this group that will come out of the great tribulation in the future. And he's telling us about the things that they will inherit as far as blessing goes once they have come out. But many of the things that will be true of them then are true of us now. And so we want to look at a few of these things here this morning and see the things that are stated here that have application for us today. So notice the first thing he says, having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Our sins have been cleansed by the blood of Christ. And that is something that you find woven throughout the scriptures. Earlier in this book of Revelation, perhaps you remember there where John, referring to Christ, he said, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then there in the fifth chapter, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. This theme of the blood of Christ, the redemption through the blood of Christ, the cleansing that comes to us by the blood of Christ, this theme has been picked up by the church throughout the ages, drawing it, of course, out of the scriptures. But think of the many songs and hymns that have been written that refer to the blood of Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sing that song often together. And there's a song that was written a few years ago. It's your blood that cleanses me. It's your blood that gives me life. It's your blood that took my place in redeeming sacrifice. Whoever wrote that song, they really summarized in those few words the biblical teaching on the effect of the blood of Christ upon us. And then there's the great hymn by Charles Wesley. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath its flood lose all their guilt and stains. From the very first time I ever heard that line, I thought, man, that is powerful. It is so powerful, the blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And then the song that Scott and Lindsay sang together this morning, here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, when the Prince of Life a ransom shed for us his precious blood. Now, we who have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, we glory in that idea. As I said, we sing about it. And as we sing about it, we find ourselves being caught up and worshiping the Lord for that blood that was shed. But it's not so with many. It's not so with those outside the church, and sadly, it's not so even with some within the church. To some, our references to the blood of Christ are appalling. They see this as a sure sign of our ignorance and superstition. They feel that such primitive ideas are not worthy of any serious consideration in the modern or in the postmodern world. But are these ideas really primitive? When we're talking about the blood of Christ cleansing, when we're talking about the blood of Christ giving us life, are these primitive and superstitious ideas? The fact of the matter is they are not. And interestingly enough, we are standing on firm ground, both biblically and scientifically, when we speak of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. You know, it's absolutely astounding to me to realize that the blood that's flowing through our veins, the blood that circulates through our entire system about three times every minute, is the very thing that is giving us life and sustaining our life and cleansing our systems from all kinds of contamination and defilement. And when you understand a little bit about the physiology of blood, you realize that when the scriptures spoke of the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, they spoke of it in those terms because God knew something that nobody else knew about blood. He knew indeed that blood did cleanse. He knew indeed that blood does give life. And the scriptures had declared that the life of all flesh is in the blood. No human being prior to the scientific age knew that. But the biblical writers knew it, interestingly enough. But think with me for just a quick moment about the function of blood in our physical bodies. Our blood, of course, consists of the plasma, the liquid aspect of it, and then of the platelets, the cells, the red cells, the white cells, the antibodies. And it's fascinating when you study what the blood actually does. That the red cells, in that song that I mentioned earlier, it's your blood that gives us life. That's true with our blood physically. Our red cells transport oxygen and nutrients from the food that we eat to every cell and organ of our body. That's what's happening right now. The oxygen is being drawn out of the air, connecting with the hemoglobin in your blood and being carried to every cell in your body. It's astounding. And when the red cell deposits the oxygen and the nutrients, what it then does, it picks up the waste from your cells and the carbon dioxide in your system, and it exports it out of your body. It cleanses you. Astounding. Again, prior to the scientific age, no human being knew that, but the biblical writers amazingly knew it. That's what the red cells do. But then we have the white cells, and the white cells, of course, are the defense system of the body. And whenever any foreign germ or bacteria or whatever the case might be, whenever that invades our body, what happens is we have an increase. The white cells are far less in number than the red cells. But when we have an increase in white cells, that indicates that our body is under attack from some foreign substance, and the white cells multiply to go and destroy that foreign substance. And so the white cells are literally our defense system. And then, of course, the body will also, the blood will also develop antibodies. And so if something comes into your system, immediately the blood will make an antitoxin that will attack that and in many cases prevent you from getting a disease. That's the idea behind a vaccination. You put a little bit of the particular thing into the system, and the blood develops then an antitoxin, and it defends you then against that particular potential disease. So thinking about the blood that's flowing through our own veins, and then going back to what the scripture says about the blood of Christ. Remember, 1 John 1:7 says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from every sin. So you see the amazing parallel that we have there. So these ideas are not primitive. These ideas are not superstitious. When we talk about the efficacy of the blood of Christ to cleanse us from sin, we are standing on firm ground biblically and, as I said, scientifically. Now, as we proceed, did you notice that having referred to those who came out of the Great Tribulation as having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, it then goes on to say, therefore, they are before the throne of God. So what the apostle is now going to go on and describe are really the benefits that will come to these in the future, the benefits of having had their robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, the benefits that they will receive in the future. But as I said, many of those benefits we have already received as those who have applied the blood of Christ to our lives today. And let's go through each one of them real quickly. Therefore, they are before his throne. We today have access by the blood of Christ. Listen to what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. You see, just as those tribulation saints in the future will have immediate and continual access to the throne of God, that's what we have today. Now, I don't know that we realize what a glorious thing that is. To some extent, some of these things we take for granted, and probably because we don't know all that we should know about our Bibles. But what the Bible teaches is that there was a time, and prior to the implementation of the new covenant, men could not simply access God. You had to go through a system of mediation. There was the priest who stood as a mediator, and the priest who had to go through an elaborate ritual just to even be prepared to mediate. But not only was there a priest, there was a sacrificial system. And all of these things were working together to give men access to God. But the average person couldn't just simply go before the Lord like we can today with our problems, with our concerns, with our afflictions, with our sins to be forgiven. There was this whole process that people needed to go through. But one of the glories of the new covenant is that we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, and so we can draw near to God. And we have access to the throne of God continually. There's no time when the door is going to be closed. There's no time when the Lord is not going to give us access to himself if we are coming to him through the blood of Christ. So this is one of the glorious blessings that we experience today as a result of having been cleansed by the blood of Christ. But then it says about them that they serve him in his temple day and night. We have the incredible privilege of serving the Lord 24/7 in his temple day and night. Now, as you know, in the Old Testament period, there was first, under the Mosaic covenant, there was first a tabernacle, a tent, and then the tent was replaced by a temple. in the New Testament period that we're living in, the temple no longer exists, the physical structure, because now the Bible teaches that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so as we gather together, we collectively make up the temple of God. And we have this wonderful privilege of being able to serve the Lord all day, every day, all throughout the week, the month, the year, and year after year. And I want to emphasize the privilege part of it. Serving the Lord is not some burdensome thing that we have to do as Christians. It's a wonderful privilege that we get to do as God's people. Again, interestingly, under the Old Testament system, there was a priesthood, and their duty, of course, was to serve the Lord in relation to the temple. But there were so many priests that they had to divide them up into different courses, and the priest would only serve in the temple a very few times throughout their entire duration as a priest. So they might be called upon to serve maybe three times at the most. It wasn't something that they were involved in on a daily basis. It was something that they did occasionally as the opportunity arose for them. But again, we have this amazing privilege. I can serve the Lord all day, every day. And I never have to stop serving the Lord. We get to do this. And of course, one of the benefits for us personally in serving the Lord is that we discover the purpose for our lives. So many people are sort of wandering around aimlessly in the world, wondering what life is all about. Well, again, the book of Revelation, chapter 4, tells us that all things were created by him and all things were created for him. They were all created for his good pleasure. We were created for God's good pleasure. And when we get to know that and understand that, we discover the real purpose of life. And of course, when you discover the purpose of life, you discover the meaning of life. And that brings about a tremendous amount of peace and contentment and satisfaction, things that you cannot find really apart from discovering the purpose of life through a relationship with God. And that leads to the next thing that we're told here, that they will never hunger or thirst. Jesus said that. You remember in John 6:35, he said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst." And so, again, we have this tremendous promise of fulfillment, satisfaction, and contentment. Now, you see, for the people that we're reading about here in the text, this is something that's going to come to them in the future. But they're going to obtain it by being martyred in the Great Tribulation period, but this is one of the great blessings and benefits that we already possess as believers in Christ today, as those today who have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Fulfillment, satisfaction, and contentment. And then finally it says that they would be led by the Lord to living fountains of water. Living fountains of water. And it's speaking, again, for them of that, just that eternal refreshing that will come over and over and over again. There will never be any time of drought. There will never be any time of boredom in the kingdom to come because of those continual times of refreshing from the Lord. But once again, we have those today. As we look out at the world that we live in, I don't need to tell you that it's a troubled world, and it's a troubling world. And we can easily get weighed down ourselves. We can become burdened. We can get depressed. But you know, God is so faithful. He's so good. And as we go back and as we just take the time to sit at his feet and as we are there just meditating upon his word, he's so faithful to lead us once again to fountains of living water. And we find that refreshing work of his Spirit coming upon our lives over and over and over again. I find that I will, you know, get burdened down with the cares of this life, get burdened down with the sin that's in the world and all of the unrighteousness and those things. And it can really weigh on you sometimes. But then, you know, you stop everything and you open up the scriptures and you get back and you start thinking about the Lord and reading about what he's done. And all of that just lifts off. And there you are once again, just being refreshed in the Lord through his presence. That's what is being described here. And that's, again, one of the great blessings. So these blessings, all of these blessings that we've just mentioned, these blessings belong to those who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, the robe is speaking here symbolically of our lives. And the picture, again, that we get from Scripture about our condition naturally, our condition as we are apart from the grace of God and apart from the cleansing of the blood of Christ, the picture that we get is that we are in an unclean state. Isaiah the prophet declared that. He said, we are all like an unclean thing. And all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. It's not only that our sins are as unclean, but even our righteousnesses are filthy rags. The best that we can offer God doesn't even remotely begin to meet the standard that he has. But God has provided a cleansing agent. He's provided a cleansing agent, and there's nothing else that can take away the stain of sin except the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so, again, we're reminded of the statement by John, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses a man from all sin. And you see, this is kind of the bottom line. This is all that really matters. This group of people that we're reading about that are going to come out of the tribulation. Of course, they will have gone into the tribulation. Why will they have gone into the tribulation? Well, because they hadn't known Christ and were not received up during the rapture. But in the midst of the tribulation, they're going to realize that all of the other things that were a priority, all of the other things that they were involved in or engaged in, whatever other pursuits they might have been, they're going to realize that that means nothing. And the only thing that means anything at that point is having their sin forgiven. And the only way to have their sin forgiven is through the blood of Christ. And they will there have that applied as they put their faith in Jesus Christ. But the same is true for us today. Nothing else really matters. Nothing else really matters except that we have our sins cleansed. Because for each and every one of us, there is a day when we are going to have to stand before God. And if I stand before God in my own righteousness, well, that is going to be a sad and tragic day, because my own righteousness is like a filthy rag before him. I need a righteousness that God will accept, and that is the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ and the application of his blood to our lives. That is the only thing that will mean anything in that day. And then, of course, when that application comes to us, we then, today, like they will in the future, we become the recipients of these wonderful blessings that we're talking about. The blessing of that continual access to God's presence. the blessing of being able, the privilege of serving him, the promise of fulfillment and satisfaction and contentment, that promise that the Lord will continue to refresh us as we go on in life. And so in closing this morning, the question is, to quote the words of another song, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? This isn't primitive. This isn't superstition. This is in complete and total harmony with what we know scientifically about the effects of blood. And of course, all of that was instilled into the creation by the God who made us and would one day take upon himself human form so he could shed his own blood and cleanse us from our sin. Have you been to Jesus? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Let's pray. Lord, how we thank you for this great and incredible truth about the cleansing blood, the blood that washes us and cleanses us from all sin. Lord, that you have taken our sins that are as scarlet and you have made them as white as snow. And how we bless and praise you for that today. And Lord, may we just in some way understand a little bit more today about the power of the blood to cleanse from sin. And then, Lord, may we also have a greater appreciation and a greater experience of the blessings that follow the cleansing, the blessing of continual access to your throne, the blessing, Lord, of being your servants, the blessing of satisfaction and contentment, the blessing of those times of refreshing. Lord, may we experience them, all of them, in a greater way in the days to come, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. If you have perhaps joined us today and you have heard about the blood of Jesus occasionally, maybe you've been to church a bit, you've heard some of those songs, maybe you've even thought, man, that blood, what are they singing about the blood? That's weird. You see, it's not weird at all. It's reality. It's spiritual reality. It's divine reality. And that blood must be applied to your life to cleanse you from your sin. Just like your blood flowing through your veins right now is cleansing you from all those potentially deadly things, only the blood of Christ can cleanse you. And if you're not cleansed today, if you haven't come to Jesus yourself, nobody can do this for you. You have to do it for yourself. If you haven't come to Jesus, you have the opportunity this morning to do that. These pastors are up front here, and they would love to lead you in a simple prayer to receive Christ. And as you receive him, that is your way of personally applying that blood to your life and having your sin cleansed. Don't leave here today without doing that if you haven't done it yet, because it's the most important thing in all the world. And you set yourself up for immediate blessing and ultimately for eternal blessing. May God bless you, and may he fill each and every one of us with a greater knowledge and a greater love for him throughout the week. And let's close with just once again singing that first verse to the hymn, speaking of the vastness of his love demonstrated in the pouring out of his blood.
Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, who his love will not remember? Who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten throughout heaven's eternal days. Here is love. Here is love, vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood. When the Prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood, shed for us his precious blood. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.